Pronunciation. Proisnoshenia. Written by Mentally at the Cottage. Read by Princess Moonlight. Please note that this is a heated rivalry fanfic and its rating is explicit. Author's summary. A headcanon I couldn't stop thinking about after chapter 13 of Wolfbird. Shane can't sleep. He keeps thinking about the conversation and the name he almost had. Author's notes. Inspired by Wolfbird by Opal Apparition. Special thanks to Opal Apparition for the inspiration and for giving us such a beautiful piece to read at the cottage. Disclaimer. This started as a way for me to process some of the feelings left behind by Wolfbird. It's not meant to change or compete with canon. Just a small, personal exploration of Shane after the ice rink and the way his mind might try to make sense of it all. Shane can't sleep. His thoughts are loud. Too loud for a room this quiet. For a bed this empty. The darkness presses in around him, thick and shapeless, and for a moment he lets it swallow the edges of things, blurring the room into nothing, until it feels easier not to see anything at all, easier not to be seen. He stares up anyway, into the dark, into his own head. After a while, his racing thoughts trip. It catches the way it always does. The shift is subtle but inevitable as his mind settles on it. Rozanov, I can see you thinking again, Hollander. The way he had said it, almost amused, almost gentle, as though it were obvious, something Shane had never been very good at hiding. The memory lands wrong, too close. He wonders what he looks like now, lying here wide awake, if it's still that obvious, if it's written all over him even here, alone, with nothing but the walls, the ceiling, and the stupid decorative pillows to bear witness. A car alarm starts somewhere below, dulled by distance, the sound rising just enough to cut through the noise in his head, not cleanly. Not enough to stop it, but enough to pull him partway out of it. Shane's eyes flick toward the window before he can stop himself. He listens for a moment. The sound is muffled, unimportant. Noise from a world that feels too far away to matter. It takes him a second to realize how far gone he was, how completely his thoughts had swallowed him whole. The awareness setting in slowly, almost reluctantly. His jaw tightens as he exhales, slow and controlled, measured in a way that suggests he might be able to get a handle on it again if he just tries hard enough. The sound fades, or maybe he just stops hearing it, because his mind shifts anyway, slipping sideways into something sharper and familiar. The hollow, metallic thud of rink doors closing behind him. The echo reverberating. Rozanov still inside with 20,000 seats around him. Alone. Shane turns onto his side, putting his back to the room as though facing away might be enough to shut it out. He closes his eyes, chasing the dark again. Letting it settle over him like something solid. The quiet returning slower this time, stretching just enough to feel like relief. Until it doesn't. The cool side of the pillow presses against his cheek, the fabric icy against his skin, and the sensation lingers, pulling something else up with it. Rink air, sharp and cold. He can almost feel it again, that same sting settling into his hands, his fingers flexing absently against the sheets as a faint tingling refuses to fade. He presses them down, then releases, searching for warmth, for something to anchor himself, for Rozanov's hand. But his hands remain cold, the same as they had been in the locker room, breath visible in the air, phone screen glowing up at him. Transaction complete. Even though it wasn't supposed to be that. The cold had felt necessary then, clean, controlled, something he could hold on to when everything else felt like it might slip. It settles in now the same way, the chill of it sinking deeper, not just the pillow, not just the memory, but the particular kind of cold that has nothing to do with temperature, the kind that comes from something missing, something his body hasn't yet realized it's been left without. The absence of warmth, or maybe companionship. Shane's phone buzzes against the mattress beside him, the vibration low and sudden, humming through the sheets and into his arm. He reaches for it without hesitation, fingers closing around it immediately. Shane expects to see Rozanov before the screen even lights, the idea settling in with quiet certainty, automatic in a way that feels almost practiced. Like it had been waiting just beneath the surface for something to pull it up. It wasn't him. Just a notification. The glow of it too bright in the dark as his eyes adjust, the words coming into focus slowly, without urgency. A calendar reminder for a sponsor event. Rolex. The screen stays lit in his hand longer than it should. His thumb doesn't move. The word sits there, heavier than it has any right to be. His chest clenches, looser this time, but no easier to ignore. He thinks about the watch then, about slipping it into Rozanov's bag without a word, the quiet insistence of it. A choice made without permission and without explanation, and the small irrational hope that Rozanov might keep it, that it meant something. His gaze drifts, unfocused, before dropping back to the screen. The brightness pulls him in just enough to check the time. The numbers stare back at him without meaning. Too late, or too early, it doesn't matter. The realization sets in quietly. He isn't going back to sleep. Shane exhales slowly, measured, and pushes himself upright. Deliberate, like he's trying not to disturb anything. Though there's nothing here to disturb. He reaches for the lamp without looking, fingers finding the switch by habit before pressing it down, and the light clicks on beside him. Soft but immediate, cutting through the dark just enough to make the room feel real again, smaller somehow, now that he can see it. He squints for a second before reaching for his glasses, dragging them on with one hand, the motion absent-minded, his eyes adjusting as the edges of everything sharpen back into place. The phone is still in his hand, his fingers curled around it like he had forgotten it was there. The screen dims, then brightens again as his thumb shifts against it, the movement small, restless, like he's waiting for something without quite knowing what. Shane stares at it for a moment longer than he should. Then his thumb moves again, more deliberate. The hesitation gone as something steadier settles in its place. The screen responds beneath his touch, shifting without resistance as his thumb drags across it. The search field opens. He's not sure when he did that. His focus narrows in that particular way it does when his body has already made a decision his mind is still catching up to. Present but distant, a step behind the moment. By the time the thought settles, the letters are already there. Ill. The cursor blinks in a steady rhythm. He doesn't move, staring at the letters as if they appeared there on their own. His breathing slows until he becomes aware of it, until it's the only thing. His grip tightens slightly, not enough to shift the phone in his hand, just enough to feel it, to ground himself in something solid as the awareness settles in. Not all at once, but in pieces, catching up to the moment after it's already happened. He could delete it. The option is right there, the way it's always been right there. Simple, immediate. He's deleted things like this 100 times before. Texts he didn't send, searches he didn't finish. His thumb already knowing the motion before his brain decides. He doesn't delete it. He's looking for him. Not Rozanov, not the version of him that's paid for, but the one that shared time with him on the ice. The one that stays late to watch movies on the couch with him. Just to make sure Shane was okay. The notion lands softer than it should. Almost distant, as if it belongs to someone else. But it doesn't loosen its hold once it's there, just settles in and stays, the way things do when they have always been true. And for once, he doesn't stop himself. The words, Russian names, fall into place in the search bar, and hitting enter feels like wanting more than what he paid for. The screen updates under his hand, light flaring brighter as it loads and he squints slightly against it, the page pulling itself together in front of him before he's decided what he's going to do with it. Common Russian names, starting with I, are predominantly masculine, with Ilya. The results settle in front of him, his eyes skimming past the first few words, without really taking them in, just movement, shapes to look at, until they stop. Ilya. He reads it again without meaning to, slower this time. Ilya. Shane stills. It's subtle. Easy to miss, if not for the way his breathing shifts. Careful all of a sudden, like even that might be too much. His eyes find it again, the rest of the screen blurring around it. Ilya. The shape of it lingers, catching somewhere between thought and something else, closer to instinct. His lips part slightly, the sound of it forming without voice. The movement small, almost absent, like his body knows it before he does. Ilya. His face shifts, indistinct enough that he might have missed it if not for the faint tugging at the corners of his mouth. Shane doesn't realize he's smiling until he feels it.
And now that you have smiled, I want to see it again.
Rozanov's voice lingers, like it had never really left. His hand rises before he can think better of it, fingers settling against his lips the way Rozanov's thumb used to. Light, delicate, learning the shape of something worth keeping. There's something like recognition, not the movement, but the taste, a ghost of it building on his lips. The burn of whiskey comes back first, searing and sudden, settling low in his throat like it did that night. The bar, the noise, the way he'd been too in his own head to notice anything properly.
Rozanov had chosen his drink. From somewhere behind the bar, a woman's voice barely close enough to catch.
Ilyusha, haven't seen you. Shane hadn't caught it then. It had skated past him, lost in the accent, under everything else he had been trying to keep control of. The prying eyes, the way every glance felt like recognition, the sense that every table, every cluster of bodies, leaning in too close, was speaking just low enough to be about him. But now, it feels like he should have known. The sounds are too close to be anything else. A name. His shoulders pull tight, rising toward his ears, the tension sharp and immediate. It settles there, a high and locked kind of stiffness that makes him pause, not because it hurts, but because of how recognizable it feels. He's held himself like this before, too aware, too contained.
No, no, drop shoulders now with exhale, like this.
The memory slips into easily. Rozanov's voice close enough that Shane can almost feel the warmth of it against his ear, low and coaxing. There's a phantom pressure at the nape of his neck that follows. Fingers pressing into the base of his skull with that same quiet certainty, like he had known exactly where the tension lived before Shane had ever said a word. And the strangest part is how easily his body listens. Shane exhales before he thinks to, the breath leaving him slow, practiced, something learned rather than chosen. And for a moment, it almost works. His shoulders loosen, the tightness easing under something that isn't really there. But it's not the same. There's no steadying hand guiding it, no voice grounding him in, just the echo of something that had once been real and is now missing, leaving the movement feeling incomplete the second it ends. It's only then he notices his fingers still pressed to his lips. They move without much thought, tracing the line of his jaw, the touch light at first before it deepens, fingertips pressing in, nails catching faintly against the skin of his neck. The sensation sharpens, just enough to pull something from him, something reactive, his body leaning into it in a way that feels instinctive and unfamiliar all at once. Deliberate now. Searching. Not just for the sensation, but for the memory of it, for the drag of Rozanov's mouth against his throat. He pauses, thumb settling against the pulse beneath his skin. It beats fast under the pressure, quicker than it should be, less controlled. And he stays there for a breath, feeling it, letting it anchor him. But it doesn't. It only reminds him that it's just his own touch. His hand continues lower, sliding down his neck over his collarbone, coming to rest against his shoulder. The tension there gives under the pressure, but not in the same way. It releases too easily, without resistance, without that firm, knowing pressure that had made him feel held in place rather than left to manage it on his own. For a second, it's not just his own body he's aware of. It's a memory trying to fill in the gap. Rozanov under his hands instead. The breadth of his shoulders solid and warm. The steady rise and fall of his chest, shifting beneath Shane's touch into something uneven. Something that had responded back. The way his breathing had changed. The way it had answered him. Shane feels it again now, but it's different. There's no one to meet him in it. His hand moves lower anyway, palms flattening as it follows the line of his chest, the contact light but lingering, like he's trying to recreate a sensation he doesn't fully have access to anymore. His skin responds, sensitive in a way that makes his breath catch slightly. But it feels one-sided, incomplete, like he's reaching for someone that isn't there to reach back. His fingers trace along his ribs, slow, measured, each movement just a second too long, mapping the same path Rozanov's hands had taken the first night they met, as if committing the way he rose and fell beneath those hands to his memory. Shane's breathing shifts again, sharper now, less even, pulling in through his nose as his hand continues its path, lower, slower, like he's testing how far he can go before the absence becomes too obvious to ignore. His other hand loosens without him noticing, the phone slipping from his grip and dropping onto the bed beside him, forgotten as soon as it's gone. There's a brief pause where it hangs empty, uncertain, before it finds him instead, crossing his hip, fingers grazing the line there, more carefully this time, more intentionally. Like he's aware now of what he's doing, even if he hasn't fully admitted it yet. It settles at his waist. Both hands come to rest at the band of his boxers, thumbs hooking there, holding, not pulling, not yet, just feeling the edge of it, the decision sitting right beneath his fingers. The heat builds the second he stills, immediate, low, centered. It pulls his focus down with it, heavy and insistent, deeper than thought. His body responds without hesitation, and for a moment it almost feels easier, simpler, like this is something he knows how to handle. But even that doesn't hold, because there's nothing guiding it, no voice telling him where to go, no hands redirecting him, no steady presence turning it into structure, shared. It's just him, alone in it, the sensation building without shape, without direction, until it starts to feel less like relief, and more like something pressing in on him from the inside. The ache tightens, sharper now, more focused, dragging his attention down with it, refusing to be ignored. But there's something off in it, doesn't settle right no matter how much it builds. His thumbs press slightly where they rest, testing the edge of it, like he's waiting, just for a second longer, before giving in. His hand moves without much thought after that, slipping beneath the waistband, guided more by instinct than decision. The contact pulls a ragged breath from him before he can steady it, his body reacting faster than his mind can catch up. The motion comes slow at first, measured, almost tentative.
Did I say you could touch yourself?
The Russian voice, whispering in the back of his mind, brings a deep flush to his cheeks, the words reverberating through him in a mix of shame and defiance, twisted together into something sharper that makes his breath hitch. He should stop. He knows he should stop. But the sentence lingers. There's no one here to stop him, no one to guide him either. And somehow, that feels worse. His fingers flex against his dick, indecisive, caught between the rules he's learned and the quiet, aching want to break them. But the hesitation doesn't last. His hand starts to move with sudden certainty, firmer now, faster, like he's done waiting for permission that isn't coming. His eyes fall shut, head dipping back as the sensation builds, coiling tight in his core, climbing higher, pressing behind his eyes until it hurts.
Open your eyes, Hollander.
The words don't feel like a thought. They land like a command, firm and impossible to ignore. His eyes snap open. The reaction is immediate, instinctive. His breath catching as his body jolts with it. His hand tightening around himself. Movement turning rough and unsteady, like he's chasing something he can't quite reach. Shane stares up at the ceiling. Vision unfocused at first, but it doesn't stay empty. Because he can see him. The shape and weight bracing above him. Like he's always there in moments like this. Close enough to touch. Close enough to follow. His breath breaks on it, uneven. His body reacting like it's real. And it's too much.
Come for me.
The pressure peaks all at once, pulling tight through him until it spills over, until he can't hold it back, can't think past it.
So beautiful like this. You have no idea how you look, do you?
A broken sound tears from his throat, head tipping back as the feeling overtakes him.
Eh.
The name catches as it rises, desperate.
Ilya.
It cuts off before it can finish. Like it isn't his to say. Like something in him won't let it be. His breath shudders through the aftermath. His body stilling in slow, uneven pulses as everything starts to ebb.
Good boy, Hollander.
The praise settles into him like it belongs there.
You did so well.
It lands deeper this time, quieter, less commanding, and something in him clings to it, because it feels good. Like he's finally being fed, filling a space that's been left empty for longer than he wants to think about. The high fades quickly after that. He feels it. Not the lightness that's supposed to follow. No easing. No quiet release, no slow return to himself, no soft settling back into something steady and known. It hits wrong. Like stepping off a ledge he hadn't known he was standing on. The ground disappearing under him before his body can catch up to the fact that it's gone. The shift so abrupt it leaves him suspended for a fraction too long. Caught between one state and the next with nothing to bridge the space between them. For a second, there's nothing. No voice telling him where to look. No low, firm instructions guiding him through the aftermath. No softened Russian voice to anchor him in place. No pressure grounding him. No warmth keeping him tethered. No one there to slow the fall or hold him steady until his body catches up. Just the taut, suspended feeling of being between one breath and the next. And then it all comes down at once. His body recognizes it before his mind does. Registers the drop as something that should be met with something else. Something that should be caught, steadied, softened. The weight settles into him fast, heavy and immediate, pressing into his chest first before spreading lower, sinking through him like something physical, something real, dragging everything with it, his breath turning uneven, his thoughts slipping out of reach, the last of that warmth draining out too quickly to hold on to. Shane lands somewhere he's never fully been before. The other side of it is quieter than he expected. And worse. Not empty in a way that feels peaceful. Not the kind of quiet that settles. Just hollow. Stretched thin. like something is missing from it that should be there, something that would make it make sense. His lungs stutter, trying to follow, the air catching halfway in it. Not enough. Not right. Like his body doesn't quite remember how to regulate without something external guiding it back down. For a moment, he just sits in it. And then, the thought comes out of nowhere, grabbing tighter than it should, pulling his focus towards something small, contained, manageable, a thing he can fix, something he can do instead of whatever this is. The bed's a mess. He shifts slightly against the sheets, and it only makes it worse. The way the fabric clings, the way it feels wrong against his skin now, foreign in a way it hadn't just moments before. A shiver runs through him, sharper than expected, cutting through the heaviness enough to make his shoulders tense again, goosebumps rising across his skin as the cooling air settles in too quickly, too abruptly. He pulls the sheets off himself, but the movement only drags the sensation further, the fabric rougher now, scraping against him in a way that makes him too aware of everything at once. His skin, the dampness, the absence of anything to counter it. He shouldn't still be here. The thought isn't fully formed, not something he lingers on. Just a quiet push forward, something instinctive telling him to move, to get out of it, to not sit in this long enough for it to settle any deeper. Pushes himself upright, the movement slower than it should be, like his body is lagging behind the decision, like there's a delay between the thought and the action that he can't quite close. He shifts forward, dragging himself to the edge of the bed, the weight of himself heavier than expected, unfamiliar in the way it resists slightly, as if he has to push through it instead of moving with it. His feet find the floor, grounding him just enough, the coolness of it sharp against his skin as he leans forward, elbows braced loosely against his thighs, his head dipping slightly as he tries to catch his breath back into something steady. It doesn't quite settle. The dryness hits then, scratching at the back of his throat, sudden enough to pull his focus with it, physical and easier to understand than the hollow feeling still sitting in his chest. He swallows, and it only makes it more obvious.
You will have that water, and you will finish it, and I will be checking.
He doesn't look. His hand reaches out automatically toward the nightstand and closes around nothing. The movement is so instinctive, he doesn't even question it at first. Fingers curling like they expect to find water already there, waiting to be placed into his hand without him having to ask for it. He stays like that for a second, hunched forward, arm extended, hand open in the empty space, waiting, not consciously. Just long enough for it to register somewhere deeper than thought that something is missing. He blinks once, like it's enough to reset it, to clear whatever just happened. It isn't, but it's enough to move past it. His hand drops back to his side, the empty reach dismissed as quickly as it came, filed away without inspection, without question. Like it doesn't matter enough to look at too closely. He pushes himself to stand, the movement uneven, his weight shifting too far forward before he catches it, feet adjusting under him automatically, his body correcting without needing direction. He doesn't plan the steps, doesn't think about them. His body just goes. One step, then another, carrying him forward while everything else lags behind, heavy and slow, like his mind is still somewhere back there, still catching up to a thought it hasn't fully processed yet. The bed stays where it is, behind him. Sheets twisted, the mess of it left exactly as it was, untouched, unresolved, something he doesn't want to turn back toward long enough to acknowledge. He doesn't look back. He crosses the threshold anyway. One step turns into another, and then he's there standing in the middle of the living room. The shift from one space to the next happening somewhere in between, like his body made the decision before his mind had a chance to follow. The movement tapers off into stillness, without him noticing when it does, his weight settling evenly between his feet, his breath still not quite steady, like he's arrived somewhere he hadn't meant to go. His eyes catch on the couch first. Something in him settles around it, unexpectedly, instinctively, like it's supposed to follow, like this is the next step, the one that always comes after. It's always the same, as it always is. The cushion slightly indented, the blanket draped over the arm, the quiet shape of something meant to be sunk into, meant to hold. It should feel inviting, but there's something off in it now, in the way it sits in the room that feels incomplete, like it's waiting for something that hasn't arrived, like it's meant for more than one person, and it knows it. Shane doesn't linger on that thought long enough to name it. His gaze drifts past it instead, sliding away almost instinctively, landing on the wall of DVDs lined up just at the edge of his peripheral. He moves forward toward them without thinking, hand lifting before his eyes fully track the titles. Fingers already sliding along the cases, like they know what they're looking for. Like the choice has already been made somewhere beneath the surface. He doesn't read them. Doesn't need to. His fingers pause on a case, the motion small but certain, thumb tracing over the title as it finally registers beneath his touch. Pretty Woman. He turns it slightly in his hand, looking at it a second longer than he needs to, the plastic cool against his fingers, grounding in a way the rest of the room isn't. Wondering, hazily, if Rozanov has seen this one, if he'd recognize it, if he'd find it funny. The answer comes uninvited.
You picked this on purpose, da? Or is it coincidence?
Soft, almost teasing, the words curl low in his mind. Familiar enough that Sheen can hear the exact cadence of it, the slight tilt of amusement threaded through the question, like Rozanov saying it just to see what Sheen will do with it.
Am I your pretty woman, Hollander?
Rozanov's voice leaning into pretty, just enough to make it feel intentional, like he's enjoying the shape of the word, the way it lands between them. Shane doesn't answer at first. His hands are already moving, sliding the disc into the player with practice ease, the motion automatic. The click of it settling into place sounds louder than it should in the quiet room. Yes, he murmurs finally, the word slipping out under his breath before he can stop it. Softer than it would have been if there had been someone there to hear it. Very pretty. The response lingers in the space for a second. and then settles into nothing. The room doesn't answer. Of course it doesn't. But something in him had expected it to, just for a second, just long enough for the silence to feel heavier when it doesn't come. Shane doesn't look toward where someone would be sitting, doesn't let his attention drift to the empty space beside him, where the couch dips slightly, differently, when it's shared. The couch is already there, inviting in the way it always is, for him, for them. He moves toward it anyway, drawn in by something that feels more like memory than decision, like his body knows what comes next, even if the rest of him hasn't caught up yet. His hand finds the blanket without looking, dragging it over himself in one uneven motion. The warmth comes back slowly. It spreads where the blanket presses against him, sinking in, steady, familiar in a way that makes something in him loosen again, his breath following just behind it, like it's being guided back down. For a second, it almost feels the same, like an arm draped over him, heavy and certain, keeping him from drifting too far. The movie starts somewhere in the background, the sound filling the room in a way that keeps it from feeling completely empty, voices threading softly through the space, familiar in cadence if not in meaning. He barely registers it. It's there, but distant, existing around him rather than pulling him out of himself. He shifts against the cushions, letting his head fall to the side, the fabric giving just enough beneath his weight, shaping around him, the pressure steady beneath him, not shifting, not pulling away, just there. Grounding. The tension in his body loosens piece by piece, the heaviness shifting, settling into something softer, something held instead of carried. His breathing evens out with it, not perfect, but steadier. His eyes are the last to fall. They drag slower with each blink, heavier now. The edges of everything starting to blur, the shapes on the screen losing definition as the sound of the movie carries on without him, soft voices blending together into something slow and constant. For a moment, he thinks he hears it, a voice beneath it, quieter, closer, not the movie. The cadence of it more than the words, something low and steady that his body recognizes before his mind can catch it, like it's meant for him, like it's meant to keep him there. He doesn't reach for it, doesn't question it, just lets it exist, the same way he lets the blanket stay wrapped around him. The same way he lets the cushion hold his weight without shifting away from it. Shane doesn't fight it. There's nothing in him that wants to hold himself upright anymore. The sound of the movie softens further, blurring into something indistinct, no longer something he has to follow. His thoughts don't follow it cleanly anymore. They drift. Not pulled anywhere in particular, just away. And in the space left behind, something steadier settles in. Not the same, never the same. He doesn't follow the thought. It softens before it can take shape, slipping somewhere beneath the surface as his body settles deeper into the quiet. Into the steady rhythm of his breathing, into something that no longer asks him to hold himself together. The rest of him follows, slowly. And in the space that's left behind, the name comes back first. Not all of it, just Ilya. It lingers there, unfinished, the way it keeps catching somewhere between thought and voice. His brow shifts slightly, something in him trying to follow it, slow, unfocused, the effort soft and distant, like it doesn't matter if he gets there or not. Ilya. It drifts through him again, quieter this time, less like something he's trying to say, and more like something that's simply there. It sounds like something else when he lets it sit there long enough. Not just a name, something softer, closer. Close enough to feel, not close enough to say. I love. The thought shifts under its own weight, the meaning of it brushing against him instead of landing fully. Something his mind turns over slowly, like it's testing the shape of it without needing to hold on to it. The rest of it doesn't come. Not fully. Not quite a word, not quite anything he's ready for. Not in a way he can catch and keep. But it doesn't slip away either. It stays there quiet and incomplete. Something that doesn't need to be finished to exist. There's no tension in it. No sharpness. Just warmth. And his. And enough. His breathing evens out beneath it. Each inhale slower. Each exhale longer. The last of the tension. Easing out without resistance. The cold and wrongness finally gone with it. The name lingers, not fully spoken, not fully his, but understood in a way that feels steadier than anything that had come before it. Shane falls asleep with it, resting somewhere soft in his chest. A name, and what it could mean. The end.
Reader's notes. I love it when inspiration can become the source for a chain reaction. Opal apparitions, lush writing in the fan fiction Wolfbird has led to this author coming back to writing after a decade or so, and then me discovering this lovely story and being unable to resist recording this story as a podfic. I believe work in progress projects are like those wiry runners at a marathon, where we as readers are standing at the sidelines with our kudos and comments that serve as cheers and those refreshment bottles that, along with the author's own spurt of adrenaline, gives them that additional push to make it to the finish line. So by heading over to the original works, whose links I've mentioned above, will do a world of difference for the authors. A word of appreciation definitely goes a long way. I would like to thank the author for granting me permission to record their lovely story. Thank you all for listening. Hope you have a lovely day or night, wherever you are.